read his words, heed his signs. Can't you see these are the times? Earthquakes, famines, and pestilence are all on the rise. The love of man is waxing cold, just like the way that he foretold. With all these things now happening before our eyes, can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. When he comes in the clouds, each and every knee shall bow, every ear shall hear him, every eye shall see. His fire will flash as lightning shines from east to west. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Our Savior and Deliverer and Redeemer, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, El Shaddai, Yahshua, hallelujah. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and Lord of Lords and King of Kings.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this live radio broadcast. Today is the 15th of May, year 2016, and we've entitled today's program, Reset Update. Before we begin, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob or Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. Certainly not Yiddish. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, welcome to the program. I hope you enjoyed that song at the beginning. Again, that's Carl Klang, is the singer-songwriter. Carl is a friend of mine, though I have not heard from him in quite some time. In fact, I'm having a hard time tracking him down. So if Anybody knows where Carl is, please send me some contact information to my email address, bydpastordan@yahoo.com. And I've known Carl for quite some time. I've had his music back when it was only on cassette tapes. I bought every cassette tape he ever produced. And then when he went to CDs, I bought his CDs. And I've been playing Carl's music along with that of Jonathan David Brown and Susie Meredith. And I'm trying to think, James up in Canada. He goes by, Preston James, I believe is what he goes by. A pseudonym, of course, to protect himself, especially in Canada, since they have not near the freedom of speech that we have here, at least for the moment. So these brothers and sisters have produced phenomenal music, and I forgot a few others. There's so many now, and praise Yahweh for that. When we started out, Jonathan and Carl were probably the only two I was aware of that would produce identity music that was uplifting for the soul, and it taught a message as well. Carl's list of songs is extensive, and many of them teach different verses of the Bible, but he also taught history, and he keeps before us in remembrance such tragedies as the Branch Davidian children that were burned alive by elements of our government, namely Hillary Clinton, the bitch that she is, and Janet Reno, the Jew hag that she is. You know, sooner or later, our people are going to wake up to who's controlling this country and realize that they are of Satan. They are not of us. By the way, for those folks who missed it, you need to go back and listen to this morning's program, Bloodlines, with Pastor Eli James and his co-hosts, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock and Pastor Steve, who has been, praise Yahweh, recently released from the absolutely unbiblical, immoral prison system of this country today. But Yahweh protected him and allowed him to do a great work, and I'm looking very much forward to his basically updated translation of the English for the scriptures. He has done extensive work in Paleo Hebrew, far more than I have. But Pastor Eli and I have been talking about the Hebrew and the Greek meanings of words back when we first started this program, which would be about 16 years ago now. So we've been doing it for quite some time, and it's great to see so many people who have also done similar work. So great minds think alike, and then Pastor Steve, amongst others, Dick Ford also has done great work in the Hebrew. And, of course, the Greek. They go hand in hand as far as I'm concerned. So the workers are growing in number. For instance, I attended a general meeting of the American Legion, of which I am a member. And the pastor opened up a prayer for our meeting. And in it, he ended it in the name of Yahshua HaMashiach. So even in the Judeo-Christian world, there are some who are beginning to realize that our Father, and when he walked this earth as our Savior, Redeemer, Kinsman Redeemer, by the way, that they had names, not just titles. We've talked about that many times, the fact that I find it ludicrous when Judeo-Christians call upon Baal to solve the problems of this country, while they continue to violate virtually every law of Yahweh that there is on the books. You know, it'd be like a kid that constantly, I shouldn't say kid, a child of mine coming up to me and saying, Dad, I want to borrow the car. Well, let's see, last time I lent it to you, you wrecked it. Time before that, you let your friends in there and put cigarette butts out on the seats of my car. So when he comes up and asks for a blessing, what am I going to do? You're not going to touch my car. So why do we think our Heavenly Father is any different? You know, we come to him as disobedient children and wonder why we don't get the blessings. Well, you know, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, today we're going to cover a lot of topics because there's so much going on. I entitled it a reset update, but it could actually be just a smorgasbord or open forum because we're going to talk about a lot of things. But before we get into that, Isaiah chapter 65, starting at verse 3, has a little bit to tell us about our people. I have spread out my hands all day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good after their own thoughts. So what is Father telling us here? He's spread out his hands, meaning he's calling to us. He's waving to us. He's saying, please come back to me. And yet our people are rebellious. Every time I go to a Judeo-Christian church, I think of these verses like this. Rebellious people walking in their own ways, and it is not good. What does it mean by that? Does Father Yahweh care that we decide that we're going to violate his law every single day? No, he's not going to be hurt by it. You and I are hurt by it. That's why he said, I bring you a law, but it's a light burden for you. It's not how do we want to say it? A nonsensical form of law that's to punish. It's for our own good. And yet we continue to be rebellious. Verse 3. A people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and burning incense on bricks, who sit amongst the graves, who sit amongst the dead, the walking dead out there, the zombies, those not of our race and not of our faith, and spend nights in secret places. Yeah, doing things in the evening that you think because it's dark, nobody knows. Yeah, got news for you. He knows everything. Who eat pig's flesh or swine's flesh. Uh-oh. Who eat pig's flesh. And I know this is one of the big ones. I was at on a trip here recently and visited some Judeo-Christian churches and a few pastors and elders of the church, and I happened to bring up the food laws. And this one will get their attention almost as much as when you bring up the J word or the Jew word, and they ruffle their feathers instantly when you mention not eating of the pig. Oh, my God. So anyway, here he's telling us, who eat the pig's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels. Pig's flesh is an abomination. Those of us who have studied the natural health laws in the classes that I attended, we're told that pig's flesh is one of the least beneficial to us and in often cases is harmful to us. And these people aren't reading from the Bible. They're reading from the studies and from the research they've done in the world of natural health, which, by the way, natural health is of Yahweh, it's escaping me at the moment. Oh, allopathic. Allopathic way is actually alternative medicine. Verse 5, who say, stay by yourself, don't come near to me, for I am holier than you. That's your average Judeo-Christian. Don't come near me with that identity truth. Oh my God, I'm holier than you. I go to the Baptist church. I go to the Presbyterian church. I'm a deacon. I'm an elder. I'm a bishop. Oh my God, stay away from me with that damn identity stuff. Oh Lord, please don't tell me that the Jews aren't the people I think they are. Please don't tell me not to eat that delicious pig. Can't you just hear him? Yeah, like I said, I walked amongst them here recently, and it's almost where your skin crawls when you have to walk amongst them, even though they're racial brethren, when they teach such abominations and think they're holier than you. Is Isaiah right on the mark here? Absolutely. And to finish, it says, these are smoke in my nose, a fire that burns all day. And let me tell you, this one comes close to home because, as I said, I'm a Legionnaire and I go to the American Legion as often as I can to fellowship with my fellow veterans and to discuss what's going on today. Many of them are waking up as well. But it's a smoking bar. And this one brings much to my attention when it says it is a smoke in the nose, a fire that burns all the day. When I go to the Legion to talk to those guys, I can only last 1 to 2 hours, sometimes 3 if it's really a great discussion we're having. But by the end of that time, I have to get out of there as quickly as possible. My eyes are burning, my nose and throat are burning from the cigarette smoke. So your abominations, brothers and sisters, that want to stay in your version of Scripture rather than reading it for what it says, your prayers, your works are as a smoke in Father's nose and a fire that burns all day. In other words, it's a 24-hour irritant. There's other verses that talk about the fact that the prayers of such people are not heard. They do not reach Father's ears. Wake up, people! In this day when evil has risen so high, you only have one refuge. His name is Yahweh, El Shaddai, God Almighty, Elohim Almighty. All right? Whatever form he takes! There's people out there, well, what's he look like? Blah, blah, blah. Who cares? Do you want to be on the good side of the Father, the Creator, or the bad side? Do you want to have health? Live to be over 100 years old, which is very possible and easy to do? Or do you want to stagger around on false limbs and artificial joints and aches and pains and taking the pharmaceutical damnable sorcery drugs that the Jews produce? You call that living? You call that quality of life? When the book says that I've given you this for your protection and your salvation, it wasn't talking about life in the hereafter. That will take care of itself. He was talking about salvation from physical harm here and now, which is exactly what the verb in the Greek language means. Soter. Salvation. Saving. From physical harm here and now. Not this Judeo-Christian concept of come down and pray the sinner's prayer and then you'll get up and be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues and all this other stuff. Really. I've been to the churches where they do that. It's actually kind of comical. Now, it doesn't mean that Father can't give people the gift of speaking in other languages. Because that's what that word tongue that was translated is languages. Languages. Typically known languages. Or the other verses that talk about the fact that if he gives you the utterance in a foreign language, whether it be the language of the angels or a language of here on earth, such as German, French, Spanish, Italian, there is somebody in the congregation within the hearing of that voice who understands that language and gives an interpretation. He doesn't have you babbling on like the Pentecostals do, flopping around in the aisle, uttering stuff that's complete nonsense, and then nobody knows what was said. What good is that? Pray tell. Somebody come in, write to me, bydpastordan@yahoo.com, and tell me. Please explain to me. Because I don't profess to know everything, but that one just does not even make sense. Even without reading the scriptures, it doesn't make sense. Why would Father have somebody utter this completely unknown language and nobody there understands it? Nobody there is a double witness to what is said. The person could get up off the floor and say, I've said almost anything. They could claim that Father Yahweh has told me that each of you is to dig into your wallet and give me $50. How would you know any different? And don't tell me there's people that aren't people like that out there. Sure there are. What's that one? Robert Schuller? No, not Schuller. Yeah, even though he's another one of these televangelists. Oh, what the hell was his name? Robert, Can't think of it. Anyway, he claimed that if the listeners to his televangelist station didn't come up with $1 million, that Yahweh was going to kill him. Please, really? It's kind of funny because he didn't get his $1 million and he's still around. What's the scripture say about a false prophet, one who proclaims something and it doesn't come to pass? Let's see. What's it say about that? The false prophet. Oh, he's to be taken out and stoned. Yeah. Instead, Judeo-Christians still listen to this idiot, along with the rest of these idiots, and send him all kinds of money. Whereas, well, Pastor Eli, when's the last time you got a decent-sized check from one of these morons? You're right. We don't make any money doing this. And praise Yahweh, we don't. It's actually a better thing. Then we don't owe anybody anything. There's nobody who's going to write to me and say, Dan, I gave you X number of dollars this year, so I think you really ought to tone it down on the Jew thing. Really? You think so? I don't think so. In fact, we should turn it up a couple more notches, because the end is near. Not the end of us, the end of the age, and which means the end of Edom, Esau. Praise Yahweh. Finally, Obadiah, verse 18, bring it on. Their paranoia is driving them crazy. Their time is short. They're getting stupider by the day. You know, Jews like to claim they're so smart, and Judeo-Christians like to claim, well, the Jews have all the money because they're smarter than we are. Really? Really? Have you ever worked with Jews? I have. Quite a few times in my line of work. They're not the smartest guys on the planet. I've caught them in making lots of mistakes. However, they are the laziest people I've ever met. They are also the people that want to be in your business more than any I've met. They don't want to get dirty, that I can tell you. They think they know everything. Yep, that's true. They want to know all about your business, all about your family, where you live, how many guns do you have, blah, 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 blah. They keep a tally sheet on you, because that's what Jews do. Always looking for an advantage. Always looking for something to blackmail you with. Just ask your congresspeople, those creatures in Washington, those good-for-nothing buttholes in Washington that we've got. Useless, useless individuals. Go ask them. They'll tell you how it works. Jews like Dick Cheney and all the rest of the filth in Washington, and how they come up to him and tell him what they're going to do, what they're going to say, how they're going to vote. They're useless. When are we going to wake up to the fact we don't need these bastards? We don't need Washington, D.C. to survive. In fact, odds are we'd all do much better if Yahweh was to do what he said he was going to do and take that den of thieves and bury it in the dirt. Just have the ground open up and swallow every one of those pieces of dog meat. Because really, what are they doing for you? When's the last time anybody in Washington, D.C. has done anything for us? Answer, never. In fact, Washington, D.C. represents Jerusalem. Go read the verses of Jerusalem and after the Romans sacked it, what the prophets told us it was a habitation of every foul spirit, every evil and wicked bird. Hey, Washington, D.C., that describes it. What better collection of misfits, liars, perverts, pedophiles, degenerates could you possibly come up with than the filth that resides in Washington, D.C., the District of Criminals? Is there going to be a reset? Folks, our Father told us there was. Does it matter to me what form it takes or who's behind it? Cannot Father Yahweh even use the unbeliever to accomplish his will? Does the name Nebuchadnezzar ring a bell? Pharaoh? Does Pharaoh ring a bell when he went after the Israelites? Father can accomplish his will using anybody he chooses. The scriptures tell us there would be a great shaking in the heavens and the earth at the end of the age. It's coming. In fact, it's already started. Great shaking. It doesn't just mean earthquakes. In the Greek language, as I'm sure Pastor Steve can tell you, it's talking about anything that would cause you to look up in wonderment. Anything that would cause you to sit there and have your jaw drop at the strange and bizarre things happening. That is what a great shakening in Greek means. And take a look around you. Look at the perversion. And now we've got this automaton in Washington, this charlatan, this quack, forcing the states, or trying to force the states, to accept this abomination of allowing somebody into the female's bathroom who claims to think he's a woman that day. Is anything dumber than that or more wicked than that? Of course not. But it's a sign of the times. And here's one I got for you governors out there. And I'm talking to you. Some of you are listening. You better pay attention. You better start manning up, so to speak. You don't have to send Washington a damn dime. Read the Constitution. The way it was supposed to work is the federal government was to send a bill for running government to the governors, and then the governors would issue a tax upon their people within their sovereign state to pay the bill for running the Fed. Now the Fed has circumvented that unconstitutionally, of course. And they are taking monies out of the state via income tax and many other forms of taxation, and then holding that money over the heads of our states. Well, governors, put your thinking caps on. What's the solution to that? The states don't send the feds any money. Just keep the money yourself. Cut out the middleman. Cut out the middleman. How much easier could it be? And you have the right to do that, you sovereign state governors. You may not have the kahunis to do it, but you have the right to do it if you want to be constitutional, if you want to be the governor, the one who governs over a people and care about the people of your state. You would cut the feds off rather than putting this burden on your people and then turning around and say these abominations are allowed in the women's bathroom because some dork in Washington has threatened to withhold your own money. It's your money, not theirs. We support this kind of insanity when we send our money to Washington. What's the solution? Let's see. Thinking man would say, stop sending them the money. Oh, I know. There's a risk when you do that. Yeah, well, you know what does Father say in Proverbs and elsewhere? We are to resist evil with all of our heart, mind, body, and soul. Last time I checked, that's pretty all-inclusive, meaning everything that you are should be in the fight against evil. And yet the Judeos are afraid of being called names. Oh my, you might be called a tax protester. Oh, you mean like the ones who started this country and threw the king's tea in the harbor? Oh, okay, yeah, but that was back then. Yeah, that was back then when the king could have them drawn and quartered. And if you don't know what that entails, it's basically having a man tied to four different horses, one rope to each arm, one rope to each leg, and then the horses are given the command and hit on the backside to where they take off in different directions, and they literally tear the man in quarters. Drawn and quartered. That's what could happen to people who threw the king's tea into the harbor. And yet, the so-called men, the pusillanimous, ballless men we have today in our churches, are more afraid of being called a name. But the men who founded this country stood up to a tyrant at the risk of being shot, tortured, hung, or drawn and quartered. Big difference, isn't there? Yahweh, what happened to all our men? Where are they? They're sure as hell not in churches. I would dare say that No man that still has testosterone in his veins would step foot in one of these perversions called churches today. They're effeminate. They're weak. They teach error. You say, Dan, how can you say such things? Because I've visited them. I've stood amongst them playing church. I don't know that they could see the contempt in my eyes, but something tells me they could, because they sort of had a funny way of looking at me as I stared at the whole audience. I hope there was contempt in my eyes. Playing church, playing into the hand of Satan's kids, the Jews, the very people that they claim to worship as God's chosen people, when their Messiah, Yahweh in a flesh body, Yahshua, Joshua in English, when Yahshua made it quite clear, they are a race that is condemned already. Why do you think the Jews are hell-bent on destroying this world? Why do you think they want to turn everything upside down, call evil good and good evil? Those are the ones who are behind that. Of course, we have some simpletons and race traitors that go along with them, but they are the driving force behind us, because they have to create their heaven now. There is no place for them afterwards. So they're hell-bent on making this world as comfortable for them, because this is their heaven. This is their only shot. And since they are of the wicked one, Satan himself, he hates everything of Yahweh. And so do his kids. So they want the world to represent what Satan loves: debauchery, hedonism, atheism, pedophilia, homosexuality. Everything that our Heavenly Father condemns, they promote. Splitting up of the family and the home. You name it. It just goes on and on and on. Switching gears a little bit, we're going to go to the book of James. This particular translation is the World English Bible. I wouldn't say it's the best one out there, but it's acceptable for our purposes today. No matter what English translation you're reading, you should do your research. And speaking of research, by the way, I was listening to Eurofolk Radio, and I believe it was Pastor Eli and a guest that he had. They were talking, and he mentioned the eSword. Now, I looked at the eSword program years ago, and I wasn't too impressed with it. But I went to check it out after listening to the program. See, truth and knowledge is power. And I looked at the updated eSword program that's available free of charge, by the way. And it is an excellent study tool. And again, it's free. Now, they have some modules you can add on that do cost a small amount. They also ask for a donation, and if you give them a donation, they'll send you a CD with the entire eSword on the CD, that you will have it should the web go down. You will have it on your computer, or if your computer crashes, you could put it on a different computer. So I obviously made a donation, because every workman is worth their hire, and I believe the donation was only $25, that's all. For that much effort, that much work, for those of us that used to have to do the word studies in hardbound books back in the 1980s and 90s before computers became even remotely usable and fast enough to do much, we used to have to do it all by hand. We used to have to have the concordance out, and we'd have to get the numbers and then pull a book off the shelf and go look it up. That was all by hand. Of course, we learned it better, I think, because it took so much more effort and we had to write things down. Typically, writing things down helps reinforce memory. But when there's programs out there like eSword and it's all electronic, it makes doing word studies lightning fast. Now, there is a small caveat. eSword's quick definitions when you pass the cursor over the Greek or Hebrew will give you Strong's definitions. I haven't found a way to turn on or off a different because Thayer's lexicons are much better than Strong's. Strong's gives a very abbreviated, which means shortened, definition, whereas Thayer's and Green's and the other lexicons that were produced give a much more lengthy definition of words, and often it's in those lengthy definitions, such as a call for the Hebrew, a call in the Garden of Eden. A call means to have sex, to have intercourse. Now, it has other meanings, bear fruit and different things such as that, which the translators of the English into King James, that's where they went. In fact, almost all English dictionaries go that direction rather than the akal in the Hebrew lexicon, which says that it means to have intercourse with, sexual intercourse. Well, wait a minute. We're talking about a man, a woman. A woman strays off from her man. She's met by a guy named Nakash, not a snake. Nakash was a man. That's why it said the tree was comely and easy on the eyes. It was easy. It was handsome, meaning the snake. So when he took the form of a man, it was probably a good-looking dude, which helped sway Eve even more. Now, if you were a translator, which one would you pick? Well, I think I would go with what makes sense. Eve was seduced sexually by a man, a shady, crafty, deceiving man, Nakash, and Cain was the product. Seems pretty simple to me. And it makes sense then that part of her punishment was pain in childbirth. You think? You see what I mean? You got to do the word searches, and then the scriptures come to life. You find out the scriptures have so many answers to so many questions. And as my dear father told me, you cannot argue with success. And when the Bible, correctly translated, is telling you something, it makes perfect sense. That's why they took the King James, and that's why the church world was taken over by the Antichrists. These seminaries, they teach them how to run a business called churchianity. They don't teach them the truth. There's no money in the truth. They tickle the ears of our people because our people are weak. Our people don't want to know the truth. They want their ears tickled. They'll dig deep into their pockets and throw it into the plate for the people that tickle their ears. And just like those Judeo-Christians, when I brought up the fact that Jews aren't our people, they're not the chosen of Yahweh, they're not who Christ was, and I mentioned the pig, those two things, they're ready to throw me out of the building. So great is the illusion, the brainwashing today. Okay, back to James chapter 1. James, actually, you know, it's kind of interesting. We call it James, but in the Greek it was Jacob, which is the Greek form of the Hebrew of the same name, Jacob. Jacob. It should have been named Jacob. So even here we couldn't get that right. Jacob is the actual title, not James. So anyway, in the English, James, a servant of Yahweh and of the Lord Jesus the Messiah, to the 12 tribes which are in the dispersion. So right here, this is one of the verses, by the way, if you want to see if an English translation is even remotely close to being accurate, go to James 1:1, because you'll see instead of the 12 tribes, you'll see such ridiculous things as the Jewish Christians. And yet, when you go to the Greek texts, 12 tribes is exactly what it says. Tribes, meaning the tribes of Israel, the tribes of Jacob. Maybe that's why they changed it to James, because they further wanted to get your attention away from the tribes of Jacob, so they changed his name to James. Or maybe they changed it to James to honor the king, since there was no real James in the biblical figures. So again, why would you do that? Why would you translate something incorrectly just to pay homage to an earthly king? Duh. So to the 12 tribes, meaning the 12 children and their descendants, which are in the dispersion, diaspora, which is the dispersion of the holy people to other lands, meaning our people. And where were they? They were all over this planet. We've already talked about that. Read the works of Stephen Collins, who lives up in Royal Oak, Michigan. He's got some excellent books talking about the travelings and the doings of the ancient Israelites and the names they went by, such as Parthians, Scythians, Vandals, Gauls, and many, many others. So he's writing as a servant to the 12 tribes. Does it say to the world? Nope. Does it say to the Chinese? Nope. Does it say to devil's children, Jews? Well, nope, doesn't say that either. Does it say to the brown races of South and Central America? Nope. Does it say to the blacks of Africa? Nope, doesn't say that either, does it? Says to the 12 tribes, as all of the letters written in the New Testament or the newer parchments were addressed to the descendants of Jacob. Who was later named Israel. You see how easy it is to figure out, people? Count it all joy, my brothers. Here we go with that same word, and I was happy to see Steve and Pastor Eli and Pastor Steve talking about this last hour. My brothers comes from the Greek Adolphos, meaning from the same womb, meaning racial kin. So count it all joy, my brothers, my racial kin. In fact, this verse, if you think about it, because some people say, well, that's just talking about a singular mother. Really? Well, Jacob here says to the tribes, that's obviously a lot of people, even in dispersion. So we're talking about millions of dispersed Israelites. He says, count it joy, my Adolphos. So right there's your proof that the Greek word was talking about white wombs, my brothers from white wombs. When you fall into various temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Our people have forgotten what endurance is all about. They give in so quickly. Again, the threat of withholding your own money. And we've got states allowing perverts in with my wife and daughter in a bathroom. What? Let endurance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Endurance provides a perfect work. But if any of you lacks wisdom, now what is wisdom again? I think Proverbs says, acknowledging Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. How many of our people acknowledge Yahweh? Not too many of them. They'd rather play church and go off into oblivion, be hurt, be used, be led off to the slaughter by that lying preacher. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of Yahweh, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Amen. That's the good news. Even as reprobate as our people are, if they will turn from their wicked ways, Father says, I will forgive, and then I will also heal your land. Is there any simpleton within the sound of my voice who doesn't realize this world needs healed? If you're out there, I need to talk to you. Because if you can't see it now, you are as blind as a bat. You are as dumb as a box of rocks. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of Yahweh, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith. That leaves a hell of a lot of our people out. Without any doubting. Now you can take another chunk out. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed, driven by the fear porn, driven by the rhetoric from government officials, driven by the so-called intelligentsia of the world of academia, which is completely devoid of any character or integrity, driven by the words of the medical mafia. That's the people who doubt. As one naturopathic instructor told me in class, if you do not have faith in this, it does not work. Hallelujah, if that isn't true. In all my years of practicing naturopathy, it has been without a doubt a fact that you cannot muscle test, you cannot work with an unbeliever and have it work. You see, it's called holistic medicine for a reason. It treats mind, body, and soul. Holistically, they all work together. Just as the scientific study that was done recently looking at the pineal gland, it lies in the center of the skull, below the brain, the little pineal gland, and how important it is. It's called the third eye. Why? Because it's made up of rods and cones, much like the eyes are made up of rods and cones. What do the eyes do? They receive energy. Light energy comes in and hits the rods and cones. The rods and cones turn that into an image in your brain. Do you see how it works? The sunlight hits an object and creates a vibration depending on color and form, and transmits a signal that your brain can interpret through rods and cones. Wow, so the pineal gland has the same features. I wonder what signals the pineal gland is translating. Well, there are many people who say it is the antenna within a man's body whereby Yahweh and that individual communicate. Isn't that interesting? In fact, these scientists did an experiment where they had people pray, and they monitored the energy level of the pineal gland. And as they prayed, the energy level spiked upward. How's that for proof? Isn't it also interesting that the pineal gland is one of the few glands of the human body that does not respond to pollution very well? When you bring outside pollutants into your temple, that's what the body is after all, isn't it? The temple? Are we not to keep the profane out of the temple? When you bring the profane into the temple, guess where one of the places it goes almost immediately? The pineal gland. And it clogs it, causing it to perform inadequately or not up to its normal 100% state. Who do you think benefits from a bunch of Israelites running around with a plugged up antenna? You know, a lot of you guys are veterans like me. Can you imagine being out in the jungles, and you've got your radio man here at your side, and you're the commander of a platoon or a company or a battalion in the field, and your radio man comes over and goes, "Captain, yeah, what's up? My antenna, somebody just snapped it in half." "Oh, crap. Well, can you get them at all?" "Yeah, I can get them, but we have to be a lot closer, and it's coming in pretty damn garbled. I can't hardly hear and make out what they're saying." Now, let's take the enemy on the other side, but their radio man's got an antenna sticking up, whatever it is, 6, 7, 8 feet, and they're getting crystal clear signals from their commander. Which army has the better odds of coming out victorious? Satan's kids receive their signals very clearly from their Lucifer. Whereas Yahweh's children are running around putting Pringles potato chips in their gullet and a host of other Franken foods that are made up of GMO seeds and MSG, monosodium glutamate, high fructose corn syrup, colored dyes, sugar. Every one of these things takes that antenna and clips off another 6 or 12 inches of that antenna. And you wonder why our people look like zombies walking around. Or when you try to tell them the truth, they look at you as if you're coming from Mars. Their antenna is so corrupted that in some cases it functions not at all. I've seen them. They're the ones that you look into those eyes and they are lost. Why do we think, why, double-minded man? Do you think we talk about health on these shows so much? Well, first of all, ask any veteran what it's like to have to go into battle if you've got dysentery, or if you've got migraine headaches, or if you've got diarrhea. How good of a soldier do you make versus the guy that's fit with a lot of energy, like the Roman soldiers of old in the legions? He used to carry a great big old onion in their little sack that they had on their sides, and they'd take a bite out of that onion like it was an apple. And if you don't know what onions do for you, then you need to do a little research. We don't need to go into that now. But just think about that. Why would a Roman soldier take a big old bite out of an onion? Why didn't he carry great big loaves of bread? Why didn't he carry meat? Why didn't he carry a tube of Pringles so he could munch on them as he's getting ready to fight the Vandals and the Goths? Instead, he ate an onion. Well, because those guys wanted to stay healthy and fit for battle and to be victorious. Our people think Yahweh's going to do it all for them. So I'm just going to keep eating the pig. I'm going to keep eating the swine. I'm going to keep eating the snails and the shrimp and all the other crustaceans that are bottom feeders. I'm going to keep eating the lobster because I say it's good. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of Yahweh. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let that man not think that he will receive anything from the Yahweh. Whoa! Amen to that. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Double-minded. What is Father telling us? Double-minded means you can't make up your mind which way you want to go. You say you believe in the Bible, but you follow man's law, even when man's law is in contradiction to the Holy Scriptures. Even the pathetic King James makes it abundantly clear. Many of today's laws written by man is in contradiction to it, and yet the double-minded man goes, well, We don't want to lose our funding. We don't want the IRS and the FBI to come storming into our church doors. We don't want the press to call us racist or bigoted. I don't know. Oh, what way should I go? What way should I go? Oh, double-minded. Perfect definition of double-minded. Unstable in all of his ways. What does Yahweh say about the lukewarm? Remember that verse about the lukewarm, the Laodicean church? What's he going to do with the Laodicean church? Oh, he's going to vomit them out. Pretty graphic on how he feels about the lukewarm believer. He said, I would prefer you be cold. Even go completely over to the dark side. At least be passionate about it. At least be outward about it instead of hiding in the darkness, instead of going to that church every Sunday and throwing money in the plate. At least be honest. You don't believe in the Scriptures. You don't believe in Yahweh. Stop pretending. You're despicable people. playing church when in your heart of hearts, you don't give a damn what's in that Bible. You don't give a damn about the Father. All you care about is money and the things money buys. All you care about is being in good graces with the little G God government, as if those assholes in government are better than we are. Please. As Yahweh has said, I feel exactly the same way. You're lukewarm. You are despicable. You know, our enemy, Satan's kids, they also, in like manner, have more respect for those of us that have a passion and stand up for our Father. They don't like us. We're their enemy. But they have more respect for somebody that takes a stand and follows through 100% instead of you lukewarm. You know, they kill their own. They killed Joan Rivers for spilling the beans. She was one of their own. They don't mind killing their own. And they'll certainly kill you, you lukewarm white man. We know what they do to the useless eaters and useful idiots. Useful idiots are what they call white people that do their bidding. Or in some cases, they call you a white nigger. That's what the Jews call you. But let the brother in humble circumstances glory in his high position, and the rich in that he is made humble, because like the flower in the grass, he will pass away. For the sun arises with the scorching wind and withers the grass, and the flower in it falls, and the beauty of its appearance perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in his pursuits. What's the Bible saying here? Can't take it with you. Or as Laura Ferrez Wilson says, hey folks, I got news for you. Ain't none of us getting out of this alive. And when you leave with exactly what you brought here. You were brought here with nothing. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which Yahweh promised to those who love him. Does it say, for those once saved, always saved? Nope. To those who do a real good job of playing church? Nope, doesn't say that either. Or how about those that call, say, Lord, Lord? Nope, never knew you. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted by Yahweh. For Yahweh cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. You know, people out there go, I don't believe in God because there's so much evil in the world. Okay, what's your point? Oh, God allows it? Well, what makes you think that because we sit on our asses and don't get involved, that it's his job to fix up what we polluted? Yahweh gave us a perfect world. Look at this beautiful Eretz, this earth, this plane that we reside in under the firmament. What a beautiful place. And yet we let people like the governments of the world and groups like NASA convince us that, no, we're just specks that happened to pop into existence and evolution created everything, even though the man who came up with evolution denied it before he died. And in fact, he was even shocked that people bought it. It was just a postulation of what if. And yet people ran with it. Why? Because it separates us from Yahweh. It's not rocket science to figure out why the enemy picks up such idiocy as evolution, or that we're spinning on a ball in the middle of nowhere that just sort of happened to pop into existence. Come on, people. You have a brain. It's a muscle. Exercise it. You'd be amazed what you can come up with. You would be amazed what you can understand if you exercise that muscle. But there's a price to pay. You're going to have to turn off that Talmud vision for a while. You're going to have to turn off all those electronic devices pumping that bullcrap into your ears 24 hours a day. You can't exercise the brain if you're letting electronic media do your thinking for you. You might actually have to read a book. You might actually have to sit down and think about something. And God forbid, you might have to pick up a pencil and a piece of paper and put something down, either mathematically or in writing. God forbid you'd have to do that when you've got such easy temptations in all of these electronic toys. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted by Yahweh. Absolutely. Verse 14, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. You want to know where evil comes from? It isn't because Yahweh enjoys it. It's not because he created it. It's because you allowed it. We know who Satan's kids are. We know how to identify them, but we would rather play ball with them in the sandbox rather than kicking them out of the sandbox. And we wonder why our sandbox is polluted. It's got all kinds of worms and disease and sickness and death. Then the lust, when it has conceived, bears sin. Uh-oh. Lust bears sin. What is sin? Transgression of Yahweh's laws. The very laws the Judeo-Christian church says were done away with. Satan and his kids have done a work on us, haven't they? And the sin, when it is full grown, produces death. I've told you all about a nephew of mine, only 28 years old, who's fighting for his life with cancer. 28 years old. Who grew up as a single child in a home of affluent white people. So he had every opportunity for healthy food, healthy environment, good education, every advantage that you can imagine. And yet, already has an artificial hip, may have to have something done to his neck, the vertebrae in his neck, because of damage done by this malignancy. So when it says here that sin, when it is full grown, produces death, what do you think it's talking about? The very things that so many naturopathic doctors are trying to warn people about. Cancer is not a mystery, people. There is no such thing as cancer. It is tumors. And tumors are a creation of your body created by Yahweh God to protect certain parts of the body from your abuse. The tumor comes as a callus comes to the hand to protect it from taking that hoe or rake or that spear or sword and constantly creating blisters. The body creates a callus. Self-defense mechanism. Is a callus normal? No, obviously not. They're hard. But the body says, if you're going to keep doing this, I'm going to defend myself, and therefore forms a callus. A tumor is along the same exact lines. It is a creation of the body to actually protect itself from what you are doing. And as this one Dr. Major says, and Dr. Day says, and Dr. Kelly, and a host of other doctors have said, if you don't figure out what you're doing wrong to yourself, the tumor will come back, even if you're successful in getting rid of it this time. And sometimes you're not. Again, do our brain-dead, lazy Laodicean Christians today want to hear this stuff? Oh, no. No, you don't have PhD after your name, Dan. You don't have MD, Masters of Death, after your name. You're not part of the medical mafia. I trust the medical mafia because, like the government and NASA, they would never lie to me. Brain dead, Laodicean, so-called Christian, false believer, teaching the doctrines of devils for the words of Christ. No wonder Yahweh says he'll spit you out like vomit. You taste that bad in his mouth. Your prayers are like a stench in his nostrils. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers, racial brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light, with whom can be no variation, nor turning shadow. Of his own will he give birth to us by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation or creatures. So then, my beloved brothers, again, Adelphos, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. Boy, oh boy, do our people need to read this one. It's verse 19, by the way. James or Jacob chapter 1. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of Yahweh. Therefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with humility the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Or, as this footnote says, save your life. The Greeks use the same word. So what is the word for here? Oh, it's here to make sure that every single person with arms and legs, their soul goes to heaven. Well, that's maybe what your pusillanimous preacher's teaching you, but the Greeks that wrote the scriptures, that wasn't in their minds. These words are to protect your body, your soul in the here and now. Because guess what? Dying of cancer is not part of God's plan. Having artificial limbs is not part of God's plan. Having migraine headaches and bowels that are completely tore up with gas and inflammation and diverticulitis and all the other ailments because of your habits, people! Wake the hell up. Jesus criminy, you just amaze me. You have all these things going wrong, and yet it never enters your pea brains that maybe you're doing something wrong. You go into these Judeo-Christian churches praying that Baal will answer your prayers, and you wonder why nothing happens. Folks, Baal's behind what you see around you. Why would he change it? Satan's kids enjoy creating a hellish world for their father. They're in their heaven. But at least they know who their father is. You people, I don't think you really know much of anything. You go through the motions. You love playing church. But be doers of the word. Uh-oh. This is another one tough for our people. They'd rather be pew setters. But be doers of the word and not hearers, deluding your own selves. Yep, that's exactly right. Those people sit in those pews Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, deluding themselves that they're doing service to the Father by paying homage to some liar behind the pulpit, when they are not doers of the word, they are only hearers. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man looking at his natural face in a mirror. For he sees himself and then goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was, or forgets what the image looked like. But he who looks into the perfect law of freedom and continues in it, not being a hearer who forgets, but a doer of the work, a doer of Yahweh's law, this man will be blessed in what he does. Hallelujah. If only our people had the ears to hear and the eyes to see. If anyone among you thinks himself to be religious, while he does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this man's religion is worthless. For you naysayers, that's verse 26. Pure religion and undefiled before Yahweh and Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. First Chronicles chapter 16, starting at verse 21. He allowed no man to do them wrong. Yes, he reproved kings. Last time I checked, king is at the top of the governmental order. He reproved kings for their sakes. Their sakes. Do not touch my anointed ones. Ooh, you mean the ecclesia. Do my prophets no harm. Sing to Yahweh all the erats, the earth. Display his salvation from day to day. We're going to be running out of time here shortly. There are many, many verses that talk about calling upon the name of Yahweh. That's what we need to be understanding. Also read Psalm 149, which talks about the honor of all his saints who have his praises in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hands to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. By the way, I've been told by one of the people that I've been in contact with for a very long time and who has many other contacts of their own, that there is a fruition of that verse happening right now. Now, I have not had a double witness yet, but I just got this information. And again, from a very credible witness, that there are people being arrested around this world right now, part of the cabal that we often speak of, the Khazar Jew communist Bolshevik cabal that has brought Satan's dominion on this earth. Satan works through these despicable, violent, cruel, hideous creatures. I pray, Yahweh, it's true. I pray that the witnessing and the evidence of that is found and that it is true. It is certainly time. How much more innocent blood need be shed? How much more innocent blood? Again, I want to remind you to go to the web and get the eSword download program, because it is a phenomenal tool for doing word searches. Again, you don't have to trust me or Pastor Eli or Pastor Andrew or David or Laura or Pastor Steve and many of the other hosts. And as Pastor Eli and Steve and Andrew talked about on the program, there are a lot of people of late using Father's names, whether it be Yahweh or Yahshua. As I told you, I heard it just yesterday morning at the American Legion. I've also talked to a lot of Judeo-Christians of late, and some of them are turning away from the pagan Judeo-Christianity. One recent fellow that I met, a dear brother in Yahweh and a veteran, has started using Yahweh and Yahshua and has told me that he can feel the difference. He feels the power that's in that name. He feels the increased vigor within his own body, the increase in his health. Gee, imagine that, people. The scriptures write again. There's power in the name. Why do you think the enemy doesn't want you to use it? Huh? Think now. Why would the enemy tell you it's an unpronounceable word, or that it's too righteous? Oh, wait a minute now. Let's go back. What's a good investigator do? He searches out the sources. Who are the sources of that kind of garbage? Oh, Jews! Well, they're not lying, at least not this time. It is unpronounceable and too holy for them. Not you, simpletons. For them. It's my contention that if they were to call upon the name of Yahweh, he would send fire from heaven down and consume them on the spot. Praise Yahweh. I wish every Jew right now would lift up the name of Yahweh. Please do it. Call upon that sacred name. And let us witness the fire from heaven, as Obadiah at verse 18 says. Let's see the fire consume the stubble. Let the fire consume the tares and their noxious, black, toxic seeds. This world has suffered enough. Bring it on. Come on, you lying Bolshevik communist Jews. Let's hear you call upon the name of the one and only Yahweh El Shaddai. Call upon it, you lying pieces of dirt, convincing our people that you're God's chosen people. Yes, we're simpletons for believing it, but damn your hides for doing it. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The beast is running out of time. Scripture tells us that the wrath of the serpent and his children would be great, and it is. As Pastor Steve talked about his time within the prisons, and by the way, we've said it on this radio program, and Pastor Steve and his testimony of what goes on in there, they are run by Jews. Prison industries are run by Jews. The prison system, like so many other systems today, are run by Jews. That is why they are the hellholes that they are. They're not there to redeem anybody. They're not there to bring rehabilitation. They are there to make a Jew a prophet and to bring human misery on the people caged up like animals. Actually, I'm ashamed to say it. I have relatives of mine who are in the corrections industry. They can tell you firsthand. So Pastor Steve can tell you what it's like to be a rat caged up in those things. My relatives can tell you what it's like to be the ones on the outside administering the programs of the Jews. Like we said, when Yeshua was in that house and he was doing the healings, and some of the apostles came, or the disciples came to him and said, Yeshua, your brothers and your mother are outside calling for you. And he said, look and behold those here that we are amongst. These are my brothers and my sisters. It's not just the DNA, folks. I know there's those that teach that the white genes and the white race will set you free and make you come through all of this, and you will be the inheritors of the kingdom and all that. I got news for you. You're being lied to, no different than the Judeo-Christians are. DNA doesn't cut it by itself. If you do not carry the spirit of Yahweh If you do not love him above all things on this earth, if you're just a racialist because you think race is all that matters, it matters. Don't get me wrong. It matters a lot. But if you think that matters in its entirety without Father, you're lost. You're not going to succeed, brother or sister. You're not going to succeed. And by the way, we've got a project. I want people to be praying about this. Please be praying about this. I call it Project Chapel. It's basically the idea of coming up with a community to teach not just the truth of Yahweh's word, but to teach natural health, to teach mechanics in a godly fashion, to teach agriculture in a godly fashion, to teach butchering of animals in a godly fashion, to teach dietary laws and nutritional laws in a godly, to be a sanctuary for his people. Not just to hear the word unadulterated from such people as Pastor Eli and Pastor Steve and the other hosts at Eurofolk Radio and many others too, but to hear the truth about everything in this world, to set it straight, to raise animals as Yahweh intended, to grow crops as Yahweh intended, to fellowship and help one another as Yahweh intended it. I call it Project Chapel. To build a chapel, much like the Field of Dreams when Kevin Costner built the baseball field out in the middle of a cornfield and those long deceased famous baseball players came to play ball. Quite symbolic. Our ideas along the same lines. Build the chapel and they will come. If you believe that this is a worthwhile project, lift it up before Father in prayer. Lift it up. Ask him. If it has his blessing, if it has his will attached to it, then Father, open up the doors that we can build it, and then they can come. Lord knows we need the time. There was a discussion, according to the food laws, about mushrooms that went on in the last program. I thought I'd just touch on it a little bit here, whether it's a food. Well, folks, there's a pretty clear description in Scripture of what Yahweh put here as food, okay? The green leafy vegetables, the fruits with seeds, fish with fins and scales, etc. It's really pretty simple. Mushrooms aren't specifically talked about. Well, here's the point I tell people. It's not a sin unto death, necessarily. A mushroom is a fungus. It grows by consuming dead plant material, much as shrimp and crustaceans feed off of dead flesh. So it is a fungus. If you eat it, I don't know that there's any nutritional value whatsoever, and you just need to be aware that it's a fungus. All right? Again, we have bigger fish to fry. We don't need to really dwell on this. But I would say both sides of the argument, let's shelve that one. Let's table that one for now. We have a whole lot bigger fish to fry. Just leave it go at that. Let the brothers and sisters know the truth that it is a fungus. It does not meet the definitions of a nutritious food. However, it is also not a sin unto death. As far as I know, even though there are fungi that are poisonous, that ought to be a kind of clue. As far as I know, there are no poisonous green herbs that meet the definition of food that the Bible talks about. You're pretty much safe eating any of those things, within reason, again, within reason. However, there are mushrooms that are can even be fatal if you were to eat them. So there's another clue for you. But again, it's up to the brother or sister. I'm not going to break fellowship with my brothers and sisters over the consuming of a fungus. Okay? I'm just not going to do it. If Father wants to condemn them and give them some kind of a disability due to the eating of them, then that will happen. Me personally, I would rather play it safe. I'd rather play it safe and not eat them because really I'm not missing much. They don't really add a whole lot in my book. However, if I go to my brother's house to fellowship, do a word study, whatever, and he serves up spaghetti and it's got some mushrooms in it, I'm not going to sit there and offend him by making a big deal out of it either. You see? Again, keep praying for the doors to open as we get closer to the end of this age. Stand firm to the end. It is the overcomers, folks. We are the overcomers. And when it says that all flesh will see his coming and all flesh will bow to our coming King, that's exactly what it means. As I get more information about this global reset, is what people are calling it, whether you're talking about the financial or the moral reset, we could certainly use a beneficial reset in both of those categories, both morally and financially. I pray it is an awakening of the righteous people of this world, that they have had enough. They're going to take a stand. They're going to trust Father Yahweh. They're going to believe his word for what it says. And when the righteous stand firm, the wicked flee. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of people I know. And indeed it is true. When the righteous stand firm, the wicked flee. That's why they spend so much time and energy and money in propaganda, to get you to believe that you're standing firm can't win. You can't stop the beast. It's got so much money and power. Oh, you can't win, brother. Really? That's not what my word says. Not what the scripture says. Not what my heart tells me. Why are you telling me not to stand firm? Last time I checked, Goliath stood against a giant, one of the Nephilim. Goliath, at least twice the size of a normal man, at least that, maybe three times. And David said, I will trust Yahweh, and I will also trust Yahweh as I load this cartridge into my AK-47, that bullet will find its target. No, David didn't say that, obviously. AK-47s didn't exist. But that's the equivalent of him putting that rock into his sling and praying that the Lord would guide his hands and bring that rock to bear. And it did, right between the eyes of Goliath, in the one spot his helmet did not protect. And that great big giant come crashing down, and what did David do? Cut his head off with his own sword. Hallelujah. Is there a lesson there? Think about it. We're out of time. I praise Yahweh for this opportunity. Thank you, Father, for a gathering of our people. We pray that your word would go to the ears that were meant to hear. We pray for an energizing of our people. We pray for a stiff backbone, a righteous to come upon our people, a desire for truth and justice, and to destroy the wicked. We ask and pray all these things in the name of Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah.